Father, we just thank you again for the time that we get to come together this morning to learn about you, to worship you, to just be encouraged. We just want to pray that we can use this time this morning as we look quickly through your word and then spend some time in prayer with one another, that we can use it as you've designed prayer to be for one another, where we can encourage one another, where we can build one another up, we can just help each other with the things that we're burdened with and carrying, and whatever weight it is that we're dealing with. We just ask that you soften our hearts and allow us to just turn it all over to you this morning when we come together before your throne. We just thank you for our freedom in this country. There's so many places throughout this world that this is something that they can't even fathom, that they can come together and worship together and speak of you and read your word. So we just thank you for allowing us the freedom to be able to do that this morning. We just pray for those in Ukraine and in Russia, where they're just in upheaval this morning, and the last month, that there's just no normalcy anymore, that they're displaced, their normal is gone. There's many families been destroyed, children's been separated, and we just look at the children that don't understand what's going on, and we just want to pray that you can reach your comforting hand down upon them and just give them peace and comfort this morning. And as they try to figure out what direction is next and what they need to do, we just pray for those people. And we just want to pray for all the ones that are sick that can't be here with us this morning. We've got people that are dealing with health issues and family members that are sick, that they're trying to do what's right and take care of them and just be honorable to them. So we just thank you for giving them that courage to be able to stand up and take care of their loved ones. And we just pray that you can just ultimately heal them, and we just pray that this morning, the Holy Spirit, that you may run rampant upstairs and downstairs with our kids. There's just so many goofy things that our kids hear nowadays and are exposed to, that we ask that you just allow us to give them a little bit of truth this morning, and when they come here on Sunday mornings, that way when they go out into their schools or to their battlefield, whatever it may be, that they may have some truth to stand upon. It's so hard to find that we just ask that you just protect them. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 101 is what we're going to just read through, and it'll be kind of just a fly-through overview of it quick, but it kind of struck me last night, and it was something that I think we can, like I say, tie into with communion this morning. So Psalm 101, we'll just read through it. It's short. I will sing of loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all those who do iniquity. So you probably read that and you're kind of like, well, what are we looking at here? And it's standards. David is talking about standards. And this is very applicable to today in a world where we don't have any standards. Our standards are by the wayside. And if we look at it, the biggest thing that jumped out to me was all of the I will. I will sing of loving kindness. I will sing praises. I will give heed. I will walk with you. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the word. I will know no evil. Slanders, he won't slander his neighbors. He will not do that. I will endure my eyes, and I will. So you read through that, and the thing that it is that it's our choice. These standards that David is setting before us, the standards of right and wrong, it's our choice to obey those. And that's what he's pointing out here, is that it's his choice. And that's like us today. There's so many goofy things in this world, so many things that are so far out of whack, but yet it's our choice whether we follow those or whether we follow the Word of God. And I'll use the stupid, silly one that come this last week, to all this Disney stuff that's blowing up. It's our choice as parents to allow our kids. Do we keep the Disney app on our TV? Knowing that Disney is going to change everything, they've been very vocal of everything that they're going to change and everything they're going to do. Am I okay with that? From what they used to be to what they are today, am I okay with that? Am I okay with that standard? David's saying here that it's his choice to follow God's standard. God's standard is not changeable. It's something that we can't pick and choose from, and we can't dictate, and we can't change the way that he interprets things. God's standards is our plumb line. It's our true north. So David says that it's his choice to follow these things. Verse 1, I will sing of loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? Revelation 3:20 is, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. David's not saying, God, when will you come to me? Like, God, where are you? It's, when are we going to let God in? Revelation 3:20 is, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He is continually knocking. But it's our choice to open that door. God will not force that door open and force himself into our lives. It is our choice to basically submit to his standards. Just like what we've been talking about in the book of Colossians, when we are circumcised to our old flesh and our old nature and our old self and our own sin, and it's gone and it's away, it's our choice to get rid of that. Just as it's then our choice to follow the standards of God. So we have to ask him into our heart, into our life. We have to ask him to come in. He's searching. So I will walk with my house in the integrity of my heart. We have to control our own households. That's the problem that we have, is that there's not the leaders in the households that there needs to be. We are the ones that God has ordained to be in control of our family and our households. And if we are not doing our job, if we are letting that slide, and we are letting all of that stuff infiltrate our homes, what are we doing? We're not in control of it, and then we have the domino effect that we have. So I will set no worthless things before my eyes. We need to refuse to look at vulgar things. Don't be entangled and entrapped in all the stuff that's in this world that we see, that we get hanging out in front of us like a carrot. Refuse to look at them. That's what he's saying. I refuse to set my eyes on those things. They're worthless. What am I wasting my time with? Why am I focusing so much on these worthless things that don't mean anything? I hate the work of those who fall away. Don't be crooked people. I hate the work of crooked people. How many crooked people, not just talking to politicians, but in jobs and bosses and employees and things. It could be other employees. He had a talking with a guy that he's just struggling because of all the other people that he works with. They're not being fair to their boss at the end of the day. Their boss hires them for a 10-hour day or whatever it is, and he goes, these guys are just wasting time beyond wasting time. They're being crooked. They're being deceitful to their boss. Their boss hired them to do a job, and yet all they can do is work a little bit so it looks like they're working, but then they go screw off the rest of the day when they're not being watched. He's saying, don't let this grip me. It shall not fasten its grip on me. Stay away from it. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. God gives us that black and white line. There's no gray area. It's black and white. We know what to do. God's word is very clear on his standards. So we need to stay away from it. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. We need to reject it. That's ourselves. That's what we're talking about in the book of Colossians. When that old self is, that old flesh is circumcised and it's laid aside, reject it. When it's screaming at you to pick it back up and put that old self and that old sin nature back on, it's up to us. I will do what? I will reject it. It's my choice. God will not force me to reject my evil and my sin. He's the free will that he gives us, he's going to let us do whatever we want. But he's going to be standing there knocking, saying, don't do that because I know what it's going to do to you. And I know the harm that it's going to bring to you. So quit bringing it. Reject it. Leave it there. Verse 4, a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Don't tolerate it. Don't tolerate it within yourself. So if we're looking at all these eyes, there's 11 different things where David's saying, I will do this, or it affects me this way. Don't tolerate it within yourself. That arrogant, prideful feelings and emotions and things that we have weigh on us, don't tolerate it. Verse 6, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. And this is what, to me, kind of tied it to what we do on communion when we pray together, is my eyes shall be upon the faithful. We need to search for the faithful people. And we need to be a companion to them. That's what we as a church do for one another. Is when we do this, and we're in here on Sunday mornings, I know we talk about it all the time, that this is our R&R. This is where we come in from our battlefield, and we get our rest, we relax, we get re-nourished, we fill ourselves back up so we're ready. When we leave this building, we're ready to go back onto the battlefield and be effective. And that's what we need. We need to do that. We have to have each other. And that is why our church body is very important. That's why our relationships with one another are very important. Is that we must be a companion to one another. We find faithful people because faithful people will help us do what? Will help us be accountable for when we want to bring up that old self, that old sin nature, those problems. We can help hold each other accountable. He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. Don't let it in. There again, it's our house. We are in control of our own homes. The things... And then even take it one step further, we'll go our physical home, but then we'll go our spiritual home, our bodies. Where the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you, and your body is a temple. For the same Holy Spirit, the same God that rose Jesus from the grave, like we're going to talk about on Easter in a few weeks. That same power lives in you. Yet why do we let it be corrupted? Why do we let deceit take in and take over and get us off the path that we need to be in? So he who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks false shall not maintain his position before me. Every morning, it is a daily task. Your spiritual life is a daily task. The spiritual battle rages on and on and on, and it's every day. When you go to bed at night, you've made it through that day, but when you wake up in the morning, you have another spiritual battle at your doorstep. That's something that we have to realize. Because if you have the attitude that when I wake up in the morning and I know that I'm walking into a spiritual battle, it's going to change the way that you look at your day. It's going to change the way when something doesn't go right at work, how you handle that situation. It's going to change the way when somebody speaks to you a certain way or somebody acts a certain way to you. It's going to change how you handle that situation. Because you're going to recognize and say, okay, God, what are you trying to do through this situation? Whether it be a good situation or a bad situation. God, what are you trying to do with me? What are you trying to show me? But if we just wake up in the morning and we just say, oh, good, man, I conquered that day. It was a good thing. I'm done with yesterday and it's over. And then we get up and we go and we don't accept the fact and recognize that we're living in a spiritual battle, we're going to be so easily deceived. And all this stuff, this blameless way that David's saying, don't let all that stuff infiltrate our life and into our homes and into our heads and into our bodies and our thinkings and our actions, we're not going to be able to fight that stuff off. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all those who do iniquity. That's my 6 feet. The city of the Lord. Cut them off. Cut that off from infiltrating your 6 feet. You wake up and you know that my 6 feet, my temple of the Lord is dwelling within me, is going to be affected today. It's going to have pressure today. Am I going to let somebody infiltrate that? Philippians chapter 1, verse 16 says, I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Are you ready to defend the gospel? Are you ready when you walk out your door in the morning and you go into that spiritual battle and you have all those things hit you throughout the day that just don't go right or that's just a problem or whatever it may be, are you ready to defend the truth of who Jesus Christ is? Are you ready to give somebody that hope that's within you? Then that may be right now, with all the crap that's going on in the world, or all the goofy stuff that we cannot believe is happening every day. It just changes and changes and changes, and we just can't believe it. We ask ourselves, it just doesn't make sense. Why? But do we let that stuff dictate how we live our life? That stuff shouldn't change us, because we know the end of the story. That's the hope that we have. As we know that the end of the story, it's already written, it's already done. Jesus Christ died and rose again. He conquered death. He conquered all of the sin that is in this world. So a question, just to wrap that up, and then we'll get into our when we pray together, that I want, when I looked at that, and it says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. When we search for these faithful people and these faithful companions, ask yourself, who am I to others? David's laying all these standards out for us. In a standards where there's a world without standards, David just gave us our standards to live by. Who am I to others? Am I somebody that somebody else can seek out as a faithful companion? Am I worthy of that? Do I live my life that way? That's a question that we all have to ask. So, we're going to wrap up. And we're going to get together. And we're going to do, for those of you that are new, what we do on communion, we do communions once a month. And it may seem scary or intimidating or what, but we pray together. There is something that we do when with corporate prayer, when we pray with each other, for one another, that the Word of God says that wherever two or more gathered, there I am also. And that is, it doesn't matter how big of a church body we have, God is still here. It doesn't matter if we have two people sitting in this room and we pray together, it's just as effective as if we've got 1,000 people that are praying together. So if we can come and we sit together, we pray for one another, we pray through things, we truly lay out what's on our hearts. What are we struggling with? If there's a problem, if there's an issue, if there's a praise, if there's something that we need. So, and then we'll take communion. So we'll just take this side of the room and we'll scoot over and we'll do our prayer this morning.